greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. God bless him. I'll be here with you all again. It's been mentioned, remember Nancy and Kamal in prayers. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Father, we pray for Nancy and Kamal and those who can't be with us, Lord. Just ask your blessing upon them, Father. Help us, Lord, I pray, as we seek your face today, Lord, that you'd help us, Father, apply these things to our hearts. Thank you for your word, Lord, and your guidance. Lord, we just ask for your wisdom, Father, as we live our lives. And Lord, we just ask that you'd fill us with your spirit, that you'd help us be like you, Father, the end goal, Lord, to be like Christ. Can we just ask that you'd help us see that thin line, Father, that thin veil, Father, of what's real and what's godly and what's just fluff, Father, and fake, Lord. Just help us again to walk that line, walk that life. Again, we just ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I want to talk this morning about along the same lines as the boys shared, but maybe on a church level or a brother to brother level. I mean, there is a lot of talk about fellowship and communion in churches, and I want to get down to what it really boils down to, or what it really is about. You know, churches have dealt with people, you know, and the conclusion most of the time is the only way that you can have an agreement is if you just sit down and hash it all out, and then everybody lives by that agreement. And that's what, and you know, and as long as you agree with what we've hashed out, everything will be fine. You know, that's what most in the church does. It has a theocracy or a church power of us uniting around this agreement to agree with everything that we've agreed to. And you know, and then, you know, just woe unto you if you disagree with what we've agreed to. Or as a church, you know, just... that's the way it goes a lot of times, but that is not what God intended. That's not his plan. I want to open, we'll just begin. I want to read some verses. We've talked about them before, but I want to get on past this. But Romans chapter 14 and verse 1, just to lay some foundation. Working with weaker brothers. You know, and verse 1 says, "Now accept the one who is weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." You know, we can kind of glaze over this and see that, you know, well, I've got to be the one, you know, to put up with the weak brother. Well, that is not what he's asking us to do here. It's not that attitude. Now accept the one who is weak in the faith. Accept the one who is weak in the faith. But not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion. You know, if we still think our opinion is up there and he's just a poor little weak brother, we're passing judgment on his opinion. That's not accepting the one that's weak in the faith. Not at all. But yet that's where what the conclusion we wind up with most of the time. That well, I've got to put up with this poor weak brother. Look where that puts you yourself. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have is a high opinion of ourselves. We think so much of our own opinions and our own selves that we're the strong ones and we just got to bear with all this. And while it seems tolerant on the face of it, it's nothing more than just me having benevolence towards some poor weak person. It's just dripping with pride. And that's where most of it goes. It goes completely. You know, we talked about, the boys talked about how we can put others above ourselves, you know. And we can so piously put others above ourselves and be doing it with this same attitude that he's talking about here in this verse, that, well, I've just got to be the strong one here, and so I'll put others above myself. And that is, like I said, that's just fake as it can be. And it's no, I mean, there's no difference in that than any other kind of religion that's just put on a false front. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. I'll read a couple verses here. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each one of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Here again, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. You know, here again, we can have that attitude, well, I've just got to put up with those that are weak because I'm strong. But that's not the heart of what he's trying to do. He's telling us to be like Christ. You know, we still have that opinion of ourselves in there, all mixed up and all tangled up in this. Well, I'm the strong one, so I'm going to bear with the weaknesses of those without strength. But it tells us, those who are strong, bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please yourself. You know, we can bear with others, and it's all about pleasing ourselves, patting ourselves on the back, thinking we're really doing something. Is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. There again, we take ourselves so seriously when it comes to things. We make ourselves so important, so powerful up there whenever we're making these choices that, okay, I'm going to bear with the weak because I'm the strong one. And that's not what he's after here. That's not the goal here. You know, I've said it a bunch. You know, it's not weak people that tear up churches. It's not weak people that destroy people's lives. It's the strong people, or the people who think they're strong, trying to put their ideas or their opinions on someone else. That's what tears things up. It's the person who sees himself as God sees him, that's not trying to exalt himself by being the stronger person, bearing with them poor, weak people. It's the person who comes to God just like he came to Christ in the first place when he was lost, whenever he had no help, no hope, and he found God. You know, there's another verse back here that talks about, as we have learned Christ, as we have found him, live in him that way. And I think that's the heart of what all of this, what he's talking about here. If we have that heart of You know, think back whenever we were lost and without hope. You know, maybe we had, there was something that we were hanging on to and we had to let go, some kind of bitterness or some kind of anger or some kind of something that we had to let go. And when you let it go, you know, maybe we've been mad at somebody for a long time, and when you really let it go, you don't even think about that they've done, how bad they've done you. All you can think about is that's turned from animosity, anger, bitterness, that's just turned to love. You just love them. Not trying to gain anything or increase anything for yourself out of all of this. It's just all stripped away and they're forgiven. And you love them. As you've found Christ, as you, that's how you live. That's how you continue the whole Christian life. You know, we put religion in it. We get all religious and self-important because we've been doing it a little while. And we forget, you know, that moment whenever we had released someone. What he's saying is, live in that all the time. That freedom. You know, we get offended so easily. You know, they offend us the way they live, or they've done this, or they've done that, or they didn't invite us to this, or they didn't tell us about this, or they didn't, and we get offended. You know, we kind of begin thinking that they forgot we're little princesses, and everybody ought to just be looking out for me. That's why I got offended. I'm a little king, and they ought to thought better about that. That's where we wind up whenever we're offended at somebody. You know, look at the world. These people that get offended over the least little thing. The heart of it is they think they're a little prince or a little princess. And that the whole world revolves around them. That same spirit can be right in the middle of us. If that's what we think. We take ourselves so seriously, make ourselves so important, that whenever somebody fails us, go back to when we first found the Lord. We were beggars, hopeless. And when God showed the light or gave us the light, when we surrendered and just set ourselves free, we weren't asking for anything. We deserved nothing. You want to know how to get along in churches? Stay right with the same attitude you had when you first started following the Lord. Build on that. All your theology, all your doctrines, and all the rest of it, if it's not built on that, it is worthless, no matter how straight or right it is. And if we build or start on that and then soon turn to my self-importance again, it doesn't matter how holy you live, it stinks. Because that foundation of what it's built on is what it's all about, from first to last. Turn to Philippians. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Right there's where the meaning of what all of that is about. Having the same mind, the same love, that when we first encountered God, maintaining that through everything that we do. You know, whenever we're lost and all of a sudden the light shines in and we've been found, we've found the Lord and we've let go of all of those things that hinder us. We're full of that love. We're full of what he's talking about right here, to where we're not doing anything selfishly. We don't deserve anything. Not with empty conceit. You know, thinking that we have the right or the power to just be the authority to go tell everybody else how to live. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. And it's not just, okay, oh, I'm going to start thinking of others more than ourselves. That's what comes whenever we have nothing of ourselves and our strength and our power is in Christ. That's all we have to offer. Colossians chapter 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and obtaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. See, right here is the secret. It's Christ himself. We start putting our religion or our authority or our power or our self into it, and it all falls apart. When we start getting away from what we found, what we have, that it's Christ himself, and we start getting ourselves built up by our knowledge, by our doctrines, by our credibility, by my life, my holy life, then we start getting these attitudes that we're somebody and everybody ought to be listening to me. And we forget that the purpose of this is Christ himself. And me, a nobody, lost, without hope, and only him setting me free from all of those things. How can I look around at anybody else and start saying, oh boy, he's not really measuring up, or he owes me, or he ought to be doing better, or you know. All of the treating everybody better than ourselves is not just a thing to live by, or a rule to live by. It's a life that comes from being near Christ and seeing ourselves as how he sees us. The opinion of ourselves. Spiritually. You know, we get converted and we get full of religion and we get full of spiritual testosterone. You know, that's what that is. That's what makes a strutting rooster prowl around. You know, he's just that tall little banty rooster strutting around like he's the king of the world. And he's nothing but a little banty rooster. And we get full of our spirituality and all of this puffing of our chest and all of this stuff starts working on us and we start looking around who we can peck on the head. That's not how we found Christ. And that's not how Christ acted. It's Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, that little line, that little glimpse of stuff we see once in a while, of wisdom and knowledge. But there it is. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am abased in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Next time you get to thinking that you're offended or that somebody's not living up to Christ's standard like you are, how did you begin? You began with nothing. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Well, I've got authority. I've got to keep the church in line. I've got to preserve the church. It's on my shoulders to do that. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. That's all you have to pass down. That's all you have to maintain anything. And if it takes getting out of that to do things, remember, it's out of that. If it takes leaving Christ and how you found Him or how He found you to fix something, remember, first of all, it's not how you found Him. Where He found you, that you're working now. It's on your own. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. The gratitude. Where's that gratitude of remember? Carrying a burden of sin around? Carrying a burden of guilt around? Carrying grudges? Carrying all those things? And then it's all gone? Remember that gratitude? It don't matter if you don't learn anything else. If you have that attitude of gratitude and that heart of Christ, you have all you need. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. According to through philosophy, what we understand in our mind, through empty deceptions, according to the tradition of men. You know, all these things began to compete with that gratitude, with that remembering how we found Christ. According to the elementary principles of the world. What is that elementary principle of the world? That man's all about promoting himself. That man is ready to puff out his chest and be somebody. That's the elementary principles of the world. That I'm going to leave a legacy. I'm going to pass the church down. I'm going to do all... That's what the world talks about. We forget that all we have is Christ. No matter how far down the road you get, if you got anything else other than that, other than Christ that you've built on, you're building on the wrong foundation. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. You know, it mentions rule and authority. And you know, after we've been around a while maybe, we begin to think that we have the authority to rule over someone. But that, it all belongs to Him. That all belongs to Him. And when a church takes that on themselves, they're taking it away from Him. Our responsibility is to pass the faith. And that faith is in Christ. And you know, when we have that, we don't need to be told all of these things to do. We want to do them. We want to obey. We want to please the Lord. And as we begin to dress different, act different, talk different, live different. Don't forget that the whole heart of it is because we've been set free and we're nothing. Don't start getting proud of where you're at. Don't get, well, I'm doing pretty good. I've kind of got it going on here. We've left the very principle, the very foundation of what it's all got to be built on. You know, we can dress plain, we can talk right, we can help our neighbors, we can do all of those kind of things. And just be pleasing ourselves, because we're pretty pleased with ourselves, of how well we've done, and we've forgotten. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, so you walk in Him. Build everything that we've got on how we received Him. You know, whatever we do, you know, if we just... If we're doing something for somebody else, they're just as important as you are. You know, if we're working on their house, if we're working on something of theirs, if we're just helping them, we get to thinking that, yeah, well, they're wasting my time. We forgot. They're just as valuable to Jesus as we are, and we ought to. That's why everything we do, we ought to do it as unto ourselves or as we would treat others as we would do treat our, because we actually see ourselves as equal to them and not some sort of looking down our nose, just doing it because, well, I'm better, I know better, I know more. I'm a spiritual authority, I'm stronger, so I've just got to do this. Because the Bible says so. We're missing it. We're doing this because we see ourselves as God sees us. And that's all. As you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. That's how we get along as a church. That's how we pass something on as a church, as a family, that's how we pass it on. Not by our ability to organize or our authority or our power. That's the way the world does it. We live from faith to faith. And that's how it's passed. Anyway, may the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
So the golden rule is kind of a misnomer. It's seeing ourselves as the Lord sees us. Remember where we were. Thank you for that.
All right. Well, God bless y'all. Meet back here at 6:00. Depart in peace.